So as I was sharing this word that the Lord has been resounding in my heart, this word increase, God is looking to use all of us. And in order to increase, you know, let me just read a scripture that we're all familiar with in Isaiah chapter 55 that we're familiar with. Let me just get over there and read that. Well, let me turn there. Isaiah 55. Let me go over there, get there quicker. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. It says, so shall my word, well, let's back up. Verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Well, this sounds like increase to me. So when we talk about seed and seed time and harvest, in order to reap, you've got to sow. You know, in order for you to reap in life, you've got to sow something. So when we talk about, you know, if we looked at all of our lives, you know, how did you get, you know, if I went around and I said, well, how did you get to the place that you are today? How did you reach where you are in your stage in life? What did you do? We all took what? Steps. We had to take steps to reach where we are. And it took, you know, sometimes we had to get more education. So whatever we had to take steps to reach where we are today to be used to help people. It wasn't just for me. God, and even consciously or unconsciously, we were following these steps to be used to help people, help society. Yeah, we were blessed in the doing, but it took steps. If we had never taken those steps, then you would have never reached where you are. So God is wanting to use all of us. We're in this season right now where there's this great influx coming into the body of Christ now. People are hungry for answers, and God is wanting to use all of us to just touch people, reach them, share something about the good news of God and what he did. And it's going to take all of us to do that in whatever you can give. Whatever, you know, God is a gentleman by his spirit. He won't make you do anything. You've got to do what? Yield. You got to yield to him. You've got to yield to those promptings or thoughts. Go over here and do this. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't like them. You know, they said this or that or whatever, or I don't like those people, or I don't like those people on my job. You may be the only person that has the light of the gospel that can help them. So, you know, Pastor Tim Rogers from Mexico, he used to say this. He said, say this word after me, supéralo. We'd say, supéralo. He said, what does that mean? Get over it. Get over it. Get over your feelings. Get over what people think about you, because you've got something in you, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost. you are designed and equipped to help people. And so we're going to have to keep reminding ourselves, God wants to use all of us in a greater measure to help people. And we're in this season. Now, you know, when you talk about seed time and harvest, you know, if anybody has planted or worked on a farm, some may have, or somebody likes gardening, you know, there's an opportune time to sow. So if you're a farmer, you just don't go out in the middle of winter and think, well, let's get the plow out, let's sow. There's a window of time that's an opportune time to sow seed. And so you have to get your equipment out when that opportune time is. And the same with harvest. You don't pick it too late and you don't pick it too early. There's a right time to harvest. And so with God, when he begins to nudge us to do more, these are opportunities for us to jump in and be used. Because God, see, these opportunities, it's like a season or a window. If you miss that opportunity, if you miss that window, sometimes that window doesn't open up again, doesn't come around again for you to plant or to sow. And it's the same thing. When God nudges us to do something, sometimes, I'm not saying always, but sometimes those opportunities close up. And God, and let me just back up here. I shared this in Nanuet. God, trust me with this. I am not here to say or to judge or to say we're not doing something. This church, like Nanuet, is supernatural. What God has given us and what we do with the resources that God has given us is supernatural. And what we're doing is supernatural, but God is saying, I want to use you more. I want to give more responsibility to you to reach more people. Well, we can't do this and sit on our hands. We've got to yield and let him use us in whatever way he wants to use us. If he's Lord, he's going to use us all differently, in different ways and different methods. So we need to take advantage of these opportunities that come up to be used, either here in this church or in your own personal life. Take those opportunities. You know, God would never ask you to do something. How many of us think God is at least smart as we are? You know, that's kind of a funny question to ask, but if God knocks on your door and says, I don't want you to do this, he knows you have the means to do that. He already knows you've got the time, you've got the intellect, you've got the resources, the money. He knows you already can do it. And he's giving you an opportunity to do something so that you can be a blessing and be blessed. Because he said, the sower sows the seed. He who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So he's giving us an opportunity to do something, to sow more, to increase more, so that we can be a blessing to people, so that he can bless us more. And that's what he's endeavoring to do in this time. He's looking for those who will yield to him. You know, so when you think about it, think through. I mean, there's times I've missed those opportunities. Because I heard it, but I'm like, eh. And then there's times I immediately jumped in. So I'm becoming more aware every day. If I sense his leading or I sense a compassion to come over here and do something, I'm all in. I'm all in because I know it's him. I don't just jump out and do something and I would say the same thing to you. He wants us to increase, but I want us, you should be prayerful and know it's him. Know it's the compassion of God leading you. You have a heart pull to do something. And you're all in. You jump in. No reservations. You know, you think about it. Athletes that go out, you know, those that, you know, getting ready or going through these trials now to be selected for the Olympic teams, they're all in. No bars, nothing. They don't hold nothing back. They're all in because they desire what? A prize. And so just like Paul said, I stretch forth for the prize of the high calling of God. So we ought to do the same. So God is looking to use us in a greater way, in a greater measure, and he's looking for us to stretch. You know, and as I said, stretching is not comfortable. Stretching mentally, you know, anybody that's gone to school, you go to the next level, stretching mentally and soulishly is not comfortable. It's not, because you're using all your faculties, you're using your time, you're stretching further than you did before, and it's not comfortable. Or if you're, you know, stretching, you're doing something physically to get your body in shape, it's not comfortable. It's uncomfortable. And you're like, I don't like this. Or you're going through a different experience, a new job, something, you know, I don't like this. You're stretching, you're using something that is part of you that's uncomfortable. And the same thing, God is wanting to do what? Stretch us, stretch out further. It's uncomfortable, but necessary. Necessary to do what? Reach the world with the gospel. It's necessary. And we have it. We have something that the devil definitely doesn't want. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, how the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. So it's the light of the gospel. We have that. We can share something that can change the direction of somebody's life. And we have that, and so it's not a time to go, I don't want to do that. No, it's the time to jump all in. And when your mind is screaming and saying, you know, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, you say, yes, I do. I heard from heaven. I heard God's voice, and I'm in. Shut up. That's what you do. You just tell your flesh, shut up. We're going forward. You know, I remember when I was working in corporate America for a number of years, had a very good job, and, you know, I remember that the Holy Ghost had been dealing with me. There was a sense of dissatisfaction, and yet I loved my job. I was programming and doing, you know, software programming and had a very good job and a team of programmers, and I loved it. And but there was this sense of dissatisfaction, and I didn't know why. And I knew, well, I can't say I didn't know why. In 1981, I'm kind of sharing some time frames here, but in November of 1981, I was going to an Assembly of God church. And I've been saved for a few years, since 1978. So in 81, this young lady walked up to me at this church, and she said, you're going to be in full-time ministry in 3 years. So I thought I had to go to Bible school. This is 1981, and so I'm making preparation to go to Rhema Bible Training College. That didn't work. Pastor Clinton approached me 3 years to the month. November of 1984, I've been going to RLCC. I made that change in 1982. I started coming to the church. So in 1984, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and he said, "We see you working in the ministry." Well, I knew. I knew. I already knew. I had a dissatisfaction. But you know how we do. I'll pray about it. That was bogus. I already knew. As soon as he said it, I said, "Yeah, I know." But I didn't want to know. So anyways, I made that jump. I made that commitment. And I came on staff here full-time in 1985. And been here ever since. But if I hadn't, all the things, you know, my commitment to the ministry was all in. I didn't care, you know, and I say it this way, I didn't care what the ministry paid me, whether it was a little or a lot, because I was going to obey God. I was going to obey him. Now, it was a sacrifice. It wasn't easy on the flesh, because it was a big change. You know, the ministry couldn't afford as much as corporate America. But I didn't care because God spoke to me. You know, I heard Brother Copeland say something years ago, and he said he was complaining to God. God was giving him more things to do. You know, "I want you to do this. I want you to do this." And he said, "God, why are you giving me all this stuff? I got enough to do. I'm busy. I'm overloaded." And you know what the Holy Spirit said to him? He said, "The reason I'm giving it to you is because I'm trying to give it to other people and they won't take it. They won't do it. And I know you will. And it has to get done." So a lot of times, there are people that God's knocking and they're closing the door. They're not listening, or they're saying, "I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that." And God will find, sometimes you say, like, "I got enough to do. Why are you giving me this? I'm tired already. I'm running. Why are you giving me do this?" And he said, "Because you'll listen and you'll obey me. And it has to get done." And so a lot of times, we're picking up the slack. You know what I mean? We're picking up slack for people that won't in the body, because it's the body of Christ. And it's every joint is supposed to supply. So, and again, and what I'm trying to say here is I'm not saying we're all slacking off, but God wants to increase us more, to be more available, to do more. Why? So that we can be a blessing and be blessed more. So he's looking for us to step up our commitment, our commitments, time that we spend in the Word, time that we're praying, time that we're are giving of our time for his things, more of our resources, our influence, our money, more of it, not less, more. He wants us to what? Say it again. Increase. He wants us to step out and increase more. Not be reckless. We're to be led. He leads his children. So we don't just jump off and do stuff because we hear somebody else doing it. No, he may lead you different. But he's going to lead you. You want to be open and available. You know, I remember years ago there was a ministry that came out of our church. And they were visiting, and I mean, I heard the Holy Ghost just as clear as I'm talking like this. He said, "I want you to give them X amount of money." And you know, when God asks you to give something, it was a good amount of money. It wasn't piquito, it wasn't a little bit of money. It was a good amount of money. And guess what? I had it in my bank account. He already knew. You know what I mean? He knows what you got. So he's not asking you to do something that you can't do. He's asking you to do something to see if you're willing to do it and not go, I ain't doing that. He blesses the sower, not the saver or the hoarder. And he blesses the obedient one. So I said, well, this isn't an emergency. They're here for a couple days. I'm going to wait on this. I'm just going to, you know, just not saying I didn't know that I wouldn't do it, but I'm just going to wait. I'm going to sit on this. And I was willing, but I'm just going to wait on God here for a day or so. And so the last day we're there, I saw one of them, the pastor, and I said, you know, I said, God has been nudging me to write a check out for you for this amount of money. And they said, you know, praise God. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So I gave it to him. There was no fanfare, like, you know, there wasn't jumping up and down. It was just, thanks. Praise the Lord. I got a letter from them about 2 months after the fact. They said, you have no idea what that did for our faith, because we were running in the red for months as a ministry, and we were on our knees praying to God for help to get this turned around, and we were crying out to God. And when you gave that to us, it buoyed our faith that he heard us and he answered our prayer. And I said, yeah, thank God for that. If you've ever been in that position, you know, if you've ever been in a place of responsibility, whether you're a husband or you're a pastor or whatever, you have a responsibility. The weight of that is on your heart and your shoulders, and you're crying out to God, God, don't you see what I'm going through? And what is he doing? He's knocking on the body to help. With what? Money, resources. That's what I had. That's what they needed. They didn't need my time. They didn't need my praise the Lord. We'll pray for you. No, he wanted some dineros put in their hands. Shekels, right. He didn't need my praise the Lord and I'll pray from you from a day. God didn't do that. He didn't say, glory to God, praise the Lord. You make it and see how you do. He sent what? He sent Jesus. He did something. And that's what he's looking for us to do in whatever way he leads you, right? And you know, whenever you've got time or money and he asks you to give it, you're not going to like it. Whatever it is, you're not going to like it. You're going to go, I got my plate is full. I'm so busy. I don't have time for that. Or I got money. I got this little money, and he asks you to do something with it, and you go, no, I want to do something with that. He's not trying to take. You know, God's not a taker. God is a what? A giver. So he's using you to give something to get more to you. He's not trying to take from us. If he wouldn't do that, he would have never sent Jesus. Right? So he's looking to bless us. So anyways, here's Proverbs 11:24. Let's look at this. Proverbs 11:24. And then we're going to look at Psalm 112. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Proverbs 11, verse 24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now listen to this. This is in the Message translation. It says, the world of the generous. Oh, I like this. We all want to be generous. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So we want to get larger, but we're going to have to stretch a little more. Amen. God is rich, rich in mercy. It says his mercies are new every morning. Now let's look at Psalm 112 in verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 112, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to read from the King James. And this really sets to me the importance of what it is that we do and why we do it. It says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, when he talks about seed, he's talking about your offspring, your children, or as they say, some folks, your children. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Let me read this from the New Living Translation. It says, praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. So what we do as parents impacts the future of our children. This says here, their children, because we delight in the Lord, we reverence God, and we delight in obeying his commands, your children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Now I'm going to read one last one. This is from the Amplified Classic. It says, praise the Lord, hallelujah, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring, so I like this because we all can have spiritual offspring. It says here, his spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So what we do impacts a generation. We may never see it or experience it. You know, years ago, this is back in the 80s, early 80s, when Brother Hagin was alive, they were sending containers and containers full. I'm talking about shipping containers, you know, the ones that are 40 foot by whatever they are. They were sending shipping containers of books and material to Nigeria. And of course, he was reaching out to people to help support that, you know, sow your money into that. Well, they never saw that, but they sowed into that vision. And they were sending containers of spiritual material to Nigeria. Today, we're talking about now 40 years later, Nigeria has got some of the biggest churches, if not the biggest churches in the world. And when Pastor Hagin goes there, they escort him around, they treat him and look to him like Billy Graham. He's known like that. Why? Because those churches had, at that time, the people had material sown into them. They got hold of it, and they began to rise up out of, you know, whatever positions they were in. And some of those churches, you know, when you see there's one church, I think it's Odiepo's church. Adebeo. His church, there's a fixture that they've built. It's a mile long and it's a half a mile wide, and it has kind of like this domed, like metal covering, like a Quonset, you know, what do they call it, a Quonset? It's like a platform. It's a mile long, and it's a half a mile wide, and it's filled with people. His church seats 50,000. Now, that's not his church. That's just this structure that they build for meetings. But his church seats 50,000. It's an arena that seats 50,000, and they have three services on a Sunday, and they fill everyone. And there's not just his church, there's two or three other that are just as big. How did that come about? There was sowing that went into that church or into that country. And what happened? God wanted to do what? Change a nation. Change it. Well, it's going to take all of us, you know, whether you're sowing into, you know, something where we're giving away material or whatever. People aren't going to come here to get what they need. You're going to have to sow it into them. Just like in Nigeria, that they get it, and those that get it, they go like, oh man, this is going to change my life. I mean, we sing these songs by Waymaker, and the one we sang this morning, The Name of Jesus by Sinach. She's out of that country. She's out of Nigeria. So this country is blessed because of the gospel that was sown into it. So there's a great mighty harvest, you know. I was thinking about this. I was just out of my own curiosity, you know, when we talk about being rich, you know, when we talk about financially rich, I was looking this up because I was just curious. What is considered rich in this country? What is considered rich? Anybody have an idea? Because there's a lot of numbers. The average amount of money that somebody makes in the United States is somewhere around 50,000, 50 to 55,000, somewhere near. That's average. And they said in the United States, if you're rich, it says that that's somewhere about between $6.5 to $7 million. Then you're rich. Okay, you're rich. But now, does anybody know what rich is if you're in the world? I'm talking about all the countries. Does anybody know what that figure is? Because I didn't know. You say, well, all the countries in the world, Asia, Africa, what is, somebody know what that figure is? I'll give you. The average now is between $32,000 and $35,000. You're considered rich. Like a person here who's got $6.5 to $7 million. In the world, if you have $32,000 to $35,000, you're considered rich. They said in China, now again, there's a lot of very wealthy people in China. There's a lot of wealthy people in Saudi Arabia. We're talking about across the board. Some people get a dollar a day in these poor countries. China, with the millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, if you are rich in China, they said $10,000. So you know what? We're rich. We are rich. That's why when people come from other countries and they see the resources that we have, they don't sit on their hands because those resources were never available to them in another country. And they work. Right? So, you know, so when God asks you to do something, whether with your time or your money or your influence, you're rich. You are rich. If you didn't have two nickels to rub together, and you had no money, you have time. You have time. You have time for him, time to give, time to help people, time to pray with people. We have time. So God is really just nudging all of us. He's challenging me. You know, when I see, and trust me, I'm not saying you shouldn't save. Don't be reckless with your money. Sow it into good ground if you're going to sow it. Don't just sow it because somebody's making an appeal. Pray about it. And sow into good ground if you're going to sow your time or your money. Don't just jump. Pray about, you know, I mean, I'm not, if there's a real need, like here in the ministry, if there's a need, I'm jumping in. Unless I get a check in my spirit, I'm jumping in. Yeah, I have other things to do, just like you. It's like, you know, here in the minute, my plate's full. So when I see a need, I'm like, oh no, I'm jumping in. If it's an hour, half a day, I'm jumping in because there's a need. And I'm not shy about that. I'm not praying about it. That's a need. So the key becomes that we be sensitive to God so that he can use us more. Use us more. Use us more if he prompts you to. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that when God speaks to me, whether it's a word of knowledge or if it's a word of wisdom, something or just something God is showing me, the only way those senses become more acute is by obeying it. If you're not sure, one way to find out, jump out and follow it. You know, so often, if I get a thought, check this, I could just ignore it, or I can follow it and go check it. Whenever I get those thoughts, 99 to 100% of the time, it was him. Go check this. I'll go over there. Something was left on. Something was out of place. Something was wrong. And so by listening and following, when those prompts come up, when his voice is there, check this, a thought comes. I'd rather become more sensitive in peacetime than when it's my life on the line. And then I'm not sure. Oh no, you better be sure. So now's the time. And yielding to him is getting us sharpened to do more. Do more. Do more for the kingdom of God. We're in that season where harvest is ripe. There's people that are just looking for an answer. I mean, right now, I mean, with all the bad news and stuff going on, you know, I saw something, you know, I hope he's saved, but, you know, Warren Buffett, he was making some comment about, you know, yeah, we got through this pandemic, but there's going to be some, sooner or later, there's going to be another one that's, you know, 20 times worse than what we were experienced. And I said, that may be, but the blood of Jesus paid for every single one of them. So I don't have to fear. Doesn't mean I have to be reckless, but I don't have to fear. I don't have to walk through life in fear. See, fear about the economy, fear, because what did this say? This says here, we just got done reading this. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. That doesn't say we got to hunker down and walk through life fearing every little thing. It says, no, I'm going to be blessed. My children will be blessed. My family will be blessed. I don't care what goes on in society, we're blessed because we are obeying God and we're obeying his commands. Amen. We're blessed. Hallelujah. So I just want to share those thoughts, share that, and just let's just read one last scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8. We normally read this, but 2 Corinthians 9:8, talking about giving and sowing, but it says here, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Listen, I'm going to read some translations that maybe you have, or this is the Voice translation. It says, God is ready to overwhelm you with more blessings than you could ever imagine. I like that. So that you'll always be taken care of in every way, and you'll have more than enough to share. Why? Because I'm sowing. You know, your seed that you sow, or let's put it this way, your harvest that you receive because of the seed you sow is never confused. Your harvest is never confused. What do I mean by that? You can't sow sparingly and expect to reap bountifully. It's not confused. You can't go out in the field and decide to sow a little bit and expect a big harvest. It's not confused. It's based on the seed you sow. You know, I heard Mark Hankin sharing this recently. He was talking about seed time and harvest, and he said he was in an area. I don't remember if he said he was in Kansas or he was in Colorado, but he said, you know, he was speaking to some farmers. He was teaching in a church, and there were some farmers there, and he said they had farms that were thousands of acres. So he said, you've got these big planting machines that are run by GPS. They're all on GPS. Big machinery. And he said, the farmer asked him, he said, what do you think is the most important piece of equipment on the farm? And he said, I have no idea. I'm not a farmer. I don't know. And this person said, you know what the most important piece of equipment is on the farm? He said, the planting machine. The one that plants the seed. He said, and bankers will loan farmers hundreds of thousands of dollars to either buy or replace the planting machine because they know that if they get a harvest, they're getting their money back. And I thought, that's an interesting tidbit. I didn't know that. So the banks will loan money on a piece of equipment that plants the seed because they know they're going to reap a harvest and be able to pay it back. God's no different. He wants to give us opportunities to sow so people can be blessed and we can reap the blessings of that. He wants to use us more, right? Amen. I'm finished. I just wanted to share from my heart today because God is nudging me. He's urging me to do more. Step out more, even if it is uncomfortable. I mean, I know it's him, but step out more. Do more. Reach out more. Sow more. Sow more of your time. Sow more of your money. Sow more of your influence. Sow more. Because time is short. And those rewards, you know, just think about it. I was looking up, I think I still have it bookmarked here. Let me just see. The scriptures that came up in my thinking was in Matthew, of course, Matthew and Luke, but he said, Matthew 25, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over what? Many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Increase. increase. So if you've been faithful over a little, he wants to stretch us a little bit, give us more. That's what he's saying. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. And I believe he's saying it to the body of Christ, not just us. Time is short. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had. Thank you for nudging us and prompting us to stretch out a little bit more, to do more, and to reach people with the good news of the gospel. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Before we leave, let's just say this simple prayer. If you've never done that before, believe that Jesus is the Christ, but you never confessed that. You never said it with your mouth and believed it in your heart. This is your opportunity, because eternity is available. Father, let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth to die and to redeem mankind. So I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I say it with my mouth. I believe that he took my sins to hell, and on the third day he was raised from the dead for our justification. I believe and accept him as my Savior and my Lord. I ask you to come into my heart. Make something new of me in Jesus' name. Cleanse me with your blood. In the name of Jesus, I confess that I am saved. Glory to God. If you said that and didn't ever say that before, don't ever remember saying that, or you made recommitted your life, then praise God. If you did that, just let us know and we'll give you some free information. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.